Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is David Williams calling in from Goleta, Santa Barbara, and this is my third podcast, weekly Saturday podcast. I did a few years ago for the Great Spirit Relay. This topic is the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage, and my vision since I was a kid, well, say my vision for this program started in 1977 when I helped the Japanese Buddhist monks Masao Napashi organize a peace walk to Los Angeles with my wife and a number of people. We walked a week for the purpose of introducing Thomas Binyaka, the Hopi interpreter, to the Japanese monks, the followers of Nichidatsu Fujii, who Gandhi called his Guruji. And so in 1977, we initiated what we called at the time the Great American Peace Pilgrimage. We started in Anuskoyo Park in Isla Vista with the Chumash spiritual leader, Kote Lota was his name, and he did a fire ceremony for us early in the morning. My friend Masao Napashi, the new Japanese Buddhist monk a year or so ordained, had walked across the country with a long, it's called a continental walk, and he settled in Santa Barbara where I met him and took up the drum on the 8th of December, 1976, to fast with him for a day and beat the drum and chant the Namo Myoho Renge Kyo mantra for the experience. And I had a big revelation, and I learned his name. Means sun bridge, like a rainbow, Napashi. And his first name, Masao, sounds a lot like the Hopi word for the Great Spirit. And we had just, my wife and I had been seeking that summer to the Hopi land, the teachings about the prophecies and all that, and met with Thomas Binyaka after receiving the Hopi Declaration of Peace, which I was very moved by. So he went there for a couple of months of experience. I won't go into the details of why at this time, but suffice it to say, we were surprised when we encountered the Japanese monks, because we had heard this with the helpers. If we were representing the two white people, the true white brothers, so to speak, then we were supposed to have encounter two helpers, one with the sign of the sun, who is going to bring purification, and another one with the two signs, a swastika and a funny hat. Well, we asked the monks in the beginning of in the December 76, what's the deal? Why have you beat this drum, everything? And they said, it's for your self-purification, to purify the mind. Well, that fit with what we were predicted to encounter from our studies of Hopi prophecy. And, what does your name mean? Masao, he says it means political man. Later, his daughter says it's can be interpreted as warrior. So here is a guy whose name translated as Warrior of the Rainbow or Rainbow Warrior, whose teaching we heard about from Thomas Banyaka first in a book called Warriors of the Rainbow, the mutual prophecy theme. A bunch of prophecies from around the world that were beginning to come true in our time, and there's reason to think they were consistent from the same source, so maybe there more of them would come true was the theme of the book. Well, by the time early 77 rolled around, Napashi went to Japan to do advanced work for the that year Tokyo to Hiroshima Peace Walk. And one of the other monks went with us to the Tibetan Karmapa ceremony. And there we took refuge in a Buddhist ceremony to take refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And there the guy who was doing the ceremony, the Karmapa, had a tapestry with hanging on the front of his, like a throne or like an altar thing, with a swastika in each of the four corners and a double dorje in the center, which looked like a four-leaf clover shape, which was the exact signs we were looking for from the previous year. So we recognized that the Japanese monks and this mantra of purification was one of the two helpers we were looking for. And the Tibetans who we get a name from, Tibetan name from, were the others. And so that started our adventure, and we met Fuji Guruji when he came in 1978. What I wanted to do, because of the experience we had in the Hopi land, was to initiate a walk to the Hopi territory with a bunch of spiritual people and have what Thomas called a compare knowledge for peace. So I went to, we went on this walk in January of 1977 to introduce Thomas Banyaka, the Hopi interpreter, to Fuji Guruji's followers. And, that when we did, I was prepared to present the idea of going to the Hopi land, papers prepared and everything. But the problem was that that's when they decided to start the longest walk. So actually, I have to correct the date here somewhere. I'm mixing up 77 and 78. But the longest walk was proposed at this, announced at this ceremony in Los Angeles, as was going to start in February of 1978. So was the end of 77 through 78 when we walked to Los Angeles. And at that time, they proposed the longest walk. Well, I didn't know at the time, but Lee Brightman, Venice Banks, had sent him to Japan to participate in the the Tokyo to Hiroshima peace walk, and there he met Guruji, and they settled on the idea to do the longest walk across country, and Guruji said he would support them and send his monks. So that's what took place, and shortly announced in the beginning in January, it was going to start in February, and the monks who were going to go on the walk and support the native people to accomplish their objectives, which was to overturn 11 different anti-Indian bills in Congress. And that's what happened, that they did that eventually. And Napashi and a bunch of the monks walked. And I was going to go at the beginning of the walk, but I decided to go first to the Rainbow Gathering in Oregon. I had been to my first Rainbow Family Gathering in 1977 in New Mexico, and but let me back up the story a little bit different, because I was initially introducing the idea of the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage, which came out of that walk to Los Angeles, and we wanted to get a global walk, a Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage, to carry the message of peace all around the world. But the longest walk was initiated instead with the support of Fuji Guruji and Dennis Banks and all the native people, a very important issue. So that kind of went dormant, the idea, but I have the concept of making it into a popular television show because of my time at Walt Disney Studios when between 14 and 18 years old, I was a member of the Explorer Post of the Boy Scouts. Disney sponsored it. My dad was one of the workers there, and we all learned how to make movies for 4 years, and I was the president of the Post the last year. We had to learn Robert's Rules of Order and all that stuff. So since then, I had the idea, I want to make a TV show for peace after I get into the peace movement with my association with Fuji Guruji and taking up the drum and recognizing that aside from Dennis Banks, who Guruji called the first American to take up this drum that Gandhi took up too, and the mantra, Namo Myoho Renge-kyo, that I was basically the first Anglo-American to take up this practice in 1976, and do fasting and chanting and walking the streets and all that. And Napashi wrote home to Guruji about me and that kind of stuff. And more people gradually took on the message, but that gave me an inspiration to champion the teaching of nonviolence in America, like Gandhi did in India. But my field is not a lawyer like Gandhi. I'm not a religious person particularly, but I'm a scientist who's developed a unified field theory, equations that I believe is the completion of Einstein's work to describe the operation of the natural law, what the Iroquois people call the Great Law of Peace, what the Japanese monks call the Myoho, the Wonderful Law, the law that cannot be contradicted, the concept of the Torah in Judaism, which is the law that God even has to follow and cannot contradict. In Islam, which I was tutored in Islam and accepted the faith of Islam at one of the mosque meetings, early meetings, when I was 18. So I was, after my tutor, was the second Anglo-American to embrace Islam at the Los Angeles Mosque. And there I learned from him that concept of the inviolably sovereign natural law that's expressed as the will of God in Islam that nothing can contradict. So if it happens, it happens in accord with the will of God. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. So in Judaism, if something happens, it happens in accord with the Torah, the law that even God has to follow, and so forth. So many, many traditions have this concept that I'm trying to describe by my unified field theory equations is the inviolably sovereign cosmic law of nature that everything operates by, whether we understand it or not. And it has to do, my experience, it has to do a lot of a coincidences. But like the coincidence of Masao Napashi coming up with into my life with a name like Rainbow Warrior from Japanese was a coincidence, right? So I want to make a TV show for the peace movement about the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage that's been put off all these years, and some of us talked about it, and things got in the way in terms of family and children and this and that. But I still want to do this, and the vision is, okay, a moving staging encampment that accompanies a long-distance peace walk from place to place around the world, with popular public personalities making cameo appearances along the route on their schedule to lend their draw to the show, doing performances and songs or whatever, speeches from a stage every night, with international volunteers as the stars of the show, the peace walkers representing many different cultures and languages, getting along with these tools that are offered, such as a Ting system based on a tetrahedral geometry that's like a human hive type of system, a socialization process to show how people can get along. One of the structures looks a lot like a crystal-shaped teepee. People think of it as a teepee. But international kitchens with different foods every night representing the cultures of the people on the walk, showing how people can get along, deal with the drama, the stress, the whatever happens along the way. That's the soap opera aspect of it. So the cult concept is a mechanism to get the message of peace out. So the message of peace to me is, in my 77 years of experience so far, has been accumulated in the seven symbols on the message of the global peace pole. Each symbol has a significance from history, a precedent about creating peace in the past, like the Namo Myoho-Renge-Kyo, the basic calligraphy that goes on the peace poles that 2,200 years ago represents the teachings that King Ashoka accepted, conquering the whole of the Indian subcontinent by violent and bloody warfare. He renounced violence and accepted the teachings of peace from a Buddhist monk, which he embodied, represented the teachings of peace with many peace poles and peace monuments all around the area, the Indian subcontinent, which led to 500 years of war, no war, no crime, no violence. Then the second symbol of the peace pole is the great law of peace with the Iroquois precedent. About 1,000 years ago, the peacemaker came to bring the great law of peace teaching, the same concept, the natural law, and the that brought peace and united the warring nations and ended warfare and united all the native nations in prosperity for a long time, for hundreds of years before the European invasion disturbed it. But the Iroquois still have the historical precedent at many of the in United States aspects are patterned after it. And so forth. Each of these symbols has a meaning: the Hopi Declaration of Peace, the Three Faiths of Jerusalem united in peace. The one symbol, another one is the symbol, Satya Sai Baba's symbol for spiritual unity of all faiths, the holy men from India. And the last bottom one is the new Mayan calendar symbol, the one of five new ones that started with the calendar 26,000 year calendar that started December 21st, 2012. That symbol called peace, love, and patience, put on, offered by Jose Munoz, a Mayan calendar keeper, on a ceremony at UCSB Tree of Peace on March 11, 2018, when our mayor of Santa Barbara gave a proclamation talking about the great law of peace. And I took a great spirit relay revival across country to bring the message to the White House in the United Nations. And since then, we've added the top symbol of the seventh symbol just on October 2nd this year, last year, Gandhi's birthday. The Chumash leader blessed a symbol of the Tetron from my Tetron Natural Unified Field Theory. So the seven symbols offered as the combined message of peace, and it's all about truth and the right conduct, and that's operation, that natural law, and so forth. So the peace pole for Jerusalem is a token of our message of peace. We want to bring it to the world, to Jerusalem as well, and bring peace. Many people don't believe peace is possible. They say, oh, human nature is never have peace, but these precedents prove it's happened before. What we have to get out of the way is the corruption in thinking. I say all the wars are designed to change people's thinking. Now, so I came up with the idea, the next peace walk, you know, I've been many peace walks over the years. Most prominently, I guess, my role in the Global Peace Walk for the United Nations 50th anniversary. We walked across country to bring out the message of the United Nations Charter, which is designed to prevent, to eliminate the scourge of war from the future generations. So we walked from New York to San Francisco to the Herb Theater, the place where the United Nations Charter was signed, put the peace bowl up that we made in 1980 and had a ceremony. And on the way on that walk, we did Leavenworth Prison and had fasting for 3 days and prayers, chanting for Leonard Peltier's freedom. If you're not aware of his Leonard Peltier's case, you can look it up. Go to a website called whoisleonardpeltier.info, and I'll tell you all about it. When we went to the Kansas, to Leavenworth, I got to talk with Leonard on the phone. The initiator of that walk was Reverend Yusen Yamato, another Japanese Buddhist monk, but the Zen monk, not the Nipunzen Myohoji, but still beating the drum and chanting from his grandmother's tradition. That's what we have in common. But the Guruji's different. The Guruji's people never ask for money. People donate money, okay, but they never ask. But the Yamato's people, Zen tradition, totally different. They beggars, they ask for things. Yeah. The teaching is by asking, you bring the mind to Buddha or whatever. But that's been a big deal for me because most of my spiritual upbringing is the teachings of Satya Sai Baba. Never ask for money. Totally prohibited to ask for money in any of his gatherings. Similarly with Guruji, that's what I liked about it. Both never asked for money, but it's been difficult to deal with Yamato because he's always asking to get things. There's nothing wrong with that, just different traditions. So anyway, we walked when we were in Kansas, I got to talk to Leonard on the phone, asking him to prepare a written message for the walk to carry and propagate. So he gave it some thought. And the last thing he said to me when I talked to him on the phone was, he said, give my love to the people. So that told me what kind of guy he is. And his message is on my website, My main website for is American Peace Movement. It's a Facebook page. American Peace Movement has the latest things I put on. And the last thing I just put on today is a report from Congressman Getz and Congressman Green about the January 5th event, the riot, they're calling it, insurrection and all, that's been highly politicized, and they straighten it out. If you look on the American Peace Movement Facebook page, my last post is 37 minutes press conference, dynamite, right exactly addressing the Leonard Peltier issue, because he's his case, he's amazing. I learned 3 years ago when I was in Washington and following this very more closely, I learned that the FBI, somebody in their office has already written a letter to the judge, and if the judge gets the letter, they'll let Leonard out of prison. No, clemency isn't necessary. This letter will do the job, and somebody at the FBI is sitting on that letter in his drawer and won't give it to the judge. What's that about? It's about holding Leonard hostage to the government. See, one of Fuji Guruji's main principles, he talked about it in his speech at the Longest Walk. At the end of the Longest Walk, a bunch of the leaders gave the talks, and he was the only one, a non-Indian, in the circle with the pipe ceremony at the end, 90-something years old. And he gave a talk from the steps of the Capitol on, it happened to be on July 16th, 1978, which by coincidence is the anniversary of the first atomic bomb explosion. And Guruji's 60th birthday, they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And in that action, he recognized that's a fulfillment of the Lotus Sutra prophecy from 2,500 years ago, maybe almost, regarding the conflagration that is burning. And it says, when the conflagration is burning, tranquil is this realm of mine, meaning the Buddha land. He gives tranquility in the face of this terrible nuclear holocaust. So I don't know the details. It's Japanese, and he interpreted it anyway. That's a sign that we're changing from the period of the Buddhist prophecy gave 500 years, five times. So the last 500 years ended roughly with the time of the atomic bombing, according to Guruji. That's the time where we're beginning the period of the true law coming out to people's awareness, before the period of the decline law. So now we're going to pay attention to this law, and everything's going to be cool, and we're going to have peace. But anyway, his speech at the Longest Walk, I urge everybody to study that, not just to read it, but to study his speech, because one part he talks about is how in modern times the security of the state, the national state from Machiavelli's time, is paramount, and people lie, cheat, and steal, and whatever it takes to maintain the security of the state. We got to get rid of that, he's saying. We have to develop a system that replaces the state. So, in so many words, he talks about God and that speech. First Buddhist teacher ever read talked about the nature of God and very important stuff. So what I'm leading up to here, I realized that Leonard Peltier's case is not only American Indian issue, but it's a peace issue. If Leonard's case represents the oppression of the Native people throughout history, and to correct that means a big change in thinking from the government. So that's why I was so disappointed after lobbying so hard for 4 years, best I could, after I understand Trump a little better, bringing the peace poll and all. I was disappointed Trump wouldn't pardon Leonard. But you have to realize what a powerful thing the FBI is. When the speech, Representative Green explained the history of the FBI, for example, in the 60s, there was a Democratic convention, and they had so many informants and federal operators in there. Well, the big demonstration, one out of six people was in the FBI. Over 1,200 people kind of thing, were one out of six people were in there to create trouble. The FBI has been implicated in many terrorist actions when they so-called sponsors come guy and get him to almost blow up a building, and the FBI can come and save the day. All that kind of crap goes on, and Leonard Peltier is just the tip of the iceberg where they've acknowledged they falsified the ballistic evidence that's convicted him. All the other defendants of his were released on the grounds of self-defense. So he's the FBI hostage to maintain the government illusion of superiority over the indigenous people, which the indigenous people really means the indigenous culture of peace based on truth, the great law of peace. Everywhere you talk, whatever people, indigenous people, they know right from wrong. They don't learn to lie, cheat, and steal except in school. That's what the government is all about. From Machiavelli on down, you lie, cheat, and steal, and break your word, and that's how government works. Well, we got to get rid of that. It's counterproductive for everybody. So I've decided a few, I guess it's been a couple of months, maybe a month or so, I was going to try to rally the troops for a long-distance peace walk based on the experience I had with you, Reverend Yamato, and the Global Peace Walk, which is designed to be to promote the concept of global peace now, as I call it a universal human resolve, to get people to be resolved that we need global peace now. Everything else can wait. We got to have global peace now. That's the mission of the Global Peace Walk, is to bring out that as a universal human resolve. And what we've been doing for two peace walks across country, I took part in the first one as the main organizer, and the second one part away through California and turned to the rest of the people loose. The youth with Yamato wound up the United Nations and delivered my written message at that time. And every year since then, Yamato has, when he lived in San Francisco, he drove to Taos and did the peace walk from Taos to Santa Fe, and still every year has done it. I don't know with the COVID how it's gone, but for the last year or so. But the reason is when we got far enough across country with the Global Peace Walk, we knew we had support in Taos. Some of the walkers were from there and everything. And so we wanted, every place we did, we asked the mayor for a proclamation to say something good. So Yamato's decided this time, let's ask the mayor to proclaim his city as a global peace zone. So we did. And right then on Earth Day, Leonard Peltier's message caught up with us, and that was a part of the Peace Pole ceremony in the park, the 1980 Peace Pole, which was made at the end of a long walk for survival, which Chief Leonard Crow Dog led at the end in Gurugi in 1980s. That's the second walk cross country from the longest walk. There was the long walk for survival. That's when we made the peace pole that's been to so many rainbow gatherings and eventually wore out and burned up. But now there's a new peace pole design, but it's not a pretty piece of wood with a lot of carvings, and people can't idolize it as an art object. I think of it as just a road sign to point the way to peace. So I'm not sure how it's going to go at this year's Rainbow Gathering. I've been to a number of them. Wave and I figured about a dozen since they starting with 1977. Was my first one, and 78 was Arizona, and so forth. In 1982, after a million people wound up at the end of the walk for the special session on disarmament at the United Nations, I was present with Guruji, and a million people gathered at the end of that walk for the special session on disarmament. And I after that, went to the Rainbow Gathering in Idaho, and we did a walk from there to the Bangor submarine base, the nuclear submarine base, where they're now finally building a peace pagoda. These are other monuments besides the Peace Bowl that inspired Guruji to revive this custom from King Ashoka. There's a peace pagoda. There's in Grafton in New England, and they're building one in Great Smoky Mountains, and this one in Bangor is being built. So this is a place for peace gatherings and a spiritual center kind of thing. So my vision was, well, maybe we can kick this off the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage to motivate enough people around the world to walking for peace and use the peace tools, the peace toys I have developed over the years, the tents and the rainbow peace braids and the red cloth dyeing ceremony, all these things. I wanted to particularly use the focus to get Leonard Peltier out of jail. And I hope it's, we can do it anytime. This guy, if this insurrection nonsense about January 5th, people look into that, see how terrible the FBI's can be complicit. Maybe Biden, I don't know, but maybe this dude at the FBI will give the letter to the judge and get Leonard out, or we have to get clemency. I don't know. But my vision, my understanding is the greatest thing for the world peace movement would be for Leonard to get out of jail with all that symbolizes. My goal, that's what it's about. Then lately I've heard last week, since my second podcast, this is my third, I've heard of another effort by the American Indian Movement, so-called Grand Council, in headquartered in Minneapolis. They're going to go do a walk for Leonard's freedom, totally independent. I'm not associated with it. I want to work with them to help any way I can, but I'm not associated with any people or the group or the fundraising or anything like that. I'm just a retired guy living in his RV who's prepared to go on the road again if need be, to like I did in 2016, all the country to Vermont, to the Rainbow Gathering there, all across country to the Georgia, to 2018, to the Rainbow Gathering there, and the Martin Luther King Center, the Carter Center, and walk and the hop, skip, and a jump. They're a great spirit relay, marathon walk and caravan, revived from the Apache's project, the Big Mountain in 1986. I revived it and it got took over and by some woman in Hollywood wanted to make money on it, and she's captured my Facebook page and won't let it go. I can't put anything on it. She put stuff on it what she wants to sell, and she's stolen the thing, but I can't do anything, otherwise she'll cancel and lose everything. So I have to deal with it. But so the effort is called Walk to Justice for Leonard Peltier's Walk to Justice. I'm supportive of the idea. I don't know anything about it except what I've read in the flyers and that. And two people contacted me today by Facebook Messenger. One, a lady, and the director of the group, Frank Perro, I think his name is, the Grants Council head, wants to talk to me. I don't want to help any way I can, but I'm not I made a mistake of starting my announcement that I'm working with them to maximize the success of the projects we both are working on to get Leonard out of jail. I was thinking about changing the opening wording to walking with, but I said working with. So I have to deal with the confusion that people think I'm horning in or trying to influence what they're doing. They're totally independent. I'm totally independent. I'm doing my thing. They may not know what I'm doing. They may not care what I'm doing. But if it gets Leonard out of jail, we have that in common. That's where it's at. So basically, I want to explain a little bit. I've talked a little bit about my history with the Rainbow Gatherings, but not so much. The Rainbow Gatherings, first of all, if you've never heard about it, this is a gathering that started about 1972, where a bunch of hippies and a bunch of Vietnam veterans found common ground in the love of humanity and the anti-war movement, and they started having annual gatherings to share whatever they could. And a lot of people involved into pot and psychedelic drugs. Some people aren't. I don't know, but the government has oppressed them continually with SWAT teams at the annual gatherings, ostensibly. It's a national emergency incident every time the Rainbow Gatherings happen. They finally worked it out some maybe not so severe next time. This next year is the 50th annual gathering in Colorado. I'm not planning to go. I don't want to go, but I might have to go. I don't like the gatherings because they're noisy. People are always yelling and arguing, and I cannot find peace there. Every time I go, it's to try offer some kind of project for people to do after the gathering. In the case of 1982, where I was fresh off the meeting with Guruji and the walks from to New York, We had a nice peace walk from Idaho gathering to the Bangor submarine base. And so if I have something to offer, like the peace pole ceremony, or like I wanted to go in 2016, I drove across country where I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I thought he was the guy to beat Hillary and change good for good. So I went there to try to foment a walk after the gathering to for Bernie, but nobody was interested. And so I didn't do it. But that's what I went there for, plus this one time to demonstrate my shape, the shape of my, what people call a Metatron shape, this human high shape, tetrahedrons based. We set that up, and it's a popular attraction, rudimentary, but, and I set it up in Georgia too. I went to Georgia to recruit people to do the peace walk and the Great Spirit Relay from after the gathering near Atlanta to walk from Atlanta to the White House. One person joined. So my experience is they're not good in terms of my ability to harness the rainbow gathering people to do anything. But among them, a number of the rainbow gathering folks like Felipe Chavez, who's one of Crow Dog Sundancers, and Feather Sherman, who is a longtime associated with the Hopi elder David Monongay, and Diamond Dave Whitaker in San Francisco, who had or has a radio show. Some of the people that I know who are dedicated to doing things to get Leonard Peltier out of jail. So I think there's maybe about within the rank and file of the rainbow gathering people with enough announcements, because already months ahead to July, we can get some people to join Walk for Leonard's Freedom. And I've summarized this before. I'll summarize it again, but the main event talking about for the Peltier's Freedom, I'm sure is going to be the American Indian Movement event. Goes from September 1st to October to November 14th. So the election day is November 8th. So it's going to end in Washington on the 14th. So that's going to be a week or so after the election. And it's going to start on the 1st of September. And I know it's going to be successful, whether it gets Leonard out of jail or not. It's going to be a successful walk because it's long history. Dennis Banks is clearly associated with the American Indian Movement. Dennis Banks was the first person I took the Sweat Lodge ceremony with in San Francisco in 1982 when Guruji's was there. We're preparing to go to New York to the special session walk. And June San, one of the nuns, asked me if I'd been to the Sweat Lodge, and I said no. And she dragged me, so to speak, to DQ University into the Sweat Lodge with Dennis Banks. And that was my first experience with Indian leader and a Japanese lady and a few people. And it's my first Sweat Lodge experience. We worked with Dennis Banks a little bit over the years. He participated in the 1992 walk, gave us the eagle feather to put on the staff for the one route we led across country. I took part in with my RV for some way. For the Columbus anniversary, 1992. So, okay, where am I going to go with this? I talked for an hour. I have 2 hours. So basically, I want to overview what I've published for the plans for this. I've usurped the name of the Global Peace Walk from Yamato because he's hiding out from me. And his closest associate, Mike Davis, Mike Davis won't respond to my texts or my calls. Yamato's phone's out of order. Mike Davis is one of the, I called the when I left them in Phoenix in the 2000 walk, I called them the group of this dysfunctional youth, because Yamato is taking these crazy people across country and being patient with them to teach them, but they never learn something. You can't have a conversation with Mike Davis because he won't shut up. He won't listen. I have the same problem with Yamato. He doesn't want to listen. He wants to teach and talk. I go along with it to a certain extent. I'm being the coordinator, put up all the stuff, been to the Taos walk a number of times. I don't want to get in. I know a bunch of personal stuff about people that kind of prejudices my thinking, but I know Yamato is a devout, worthy guy, and I want to back him. So what I've proposed is to start locally in Santa Barbara. I'll walk around town to beat the drum. I'll go to the city council's meetings and give my weekly one-minute talk on TV and record and blah, blah. Try to promote the idea of getting Leonard out of jail and the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage as a walk, as a global peace walk, to bring out the teachings of global peace now and the peace pole, which Yamato introduced, blah, blah, blah. But I can't do much. I'm a guy without no followers, me yammering out ideas, and my family doesn't back me, so I'm a nobody. Except I have this conviction about the natural law and how my theory and equation fits into describing this natural law. And so I'm promoting that to make peace along the way. And the first event in Santa Barbara is called the Lucidity Festival, which I worked for a couple times with Jose Munoz, the Mayan calendar keeper and crystal skull guardian. And he's building Mayan calendar replicas, display, he calls it Human Reset Station, and using this Metatron shape, this tent shape, I call the Tent of David, because when the Ark of the Covenant and the King David went to Israel to conquer Jerusalem, and when he conquered Jerusalem, there were brought the Ark of the Covenant, and before they could build the temple, they put up a big tent called the Tent of David, and inside they put the Ark of the Covenant, and there's prayers and singing all the time in this space, this prayer space called the Tent of David. There's a place now in Washington, D.C., and all around the country for Jesus people to meet and sing songs and praise Jesus 24/7. And the Washington Mall is a big tent for that purpose. I visited in 2018. They're using the same concept, the Tent of David, but it's applied differently. So this, my Tent of David design, the Metatron shape, is to house both for Jerusalem instead of the Ark of the Covenant, the peaceful to go to Jerusalem to bring peace, to unite the three faces of Jerusalem in peace. That's the idea. And so Jose is going to build another one of these structures at the Lucidity Festival. He has an idea about making a copper pipe. These are 8-foot lengths of copper pipe, that 36 of them tied together in this crystal sheep, teepee shape. So it would have some kind of electrical properties, who knows, but he's going to build this after going to Guatemala in February, and he's bringing indigenous elders on a tour of the United States to go to New York and come back, because he calls the Mayan Neo Renaissance of begins. The Mayan Renaissance begins in March of this year, according to his cosmic calendar determination based on the six sun sacred calendar. So that's why he's going to do this, culminating in the Lucidity Festival, which again, coincidentally, starts on Buddha's birthday on April 8th. And it goes through for 3 days. So one of the next flyers I'm going to make up is a flyer for walking from the Tree of Peace at UCSB, symbolizing the Great Law of Peace. We had Thomas Bianca and Jake Swamp, the Mohawk chief, 1990 for the Rainbow Uprising of Consciousness campaign. A week of the events that culminated in the ceremony installing the Hiroshima Peace Flame on the Peace Monument at UCSB. So I want to do a walk from the Peace Tree to the Peace Flame all the way up to refuge. I guess we go up San Marcos Pass to the Live Oak Campground. So it'd be a few days walking to the mountains, ending on Buddha's birthday. That's what I'm going to be promoting, and I've got 3 months to organize it. In fact, from today, today's the 8th of January, so, and the 8th of April is Buddha's birthday, so 3 months from today, I have to plan the first leg of this great planetary peace pilgrimage, which I want to make a major millions of dollars kind of production. Maybe I can get backing people in Santa Barbara, this kind of thing. And to this gathering, I don't like so much the kind of gatherings of noisy and really loud, but I have to deal with it. But the ceremony is going to be a big ceremony. And then after that, drive to Taos and join in progress the Global Peace Walk from Taos. Now, usually the Global Peace Walk goes from Santa Fe to Taos, April 8th, starting on Buddha's birthday at the Rosario Cemetery in Santa Fe, which is the place the Japanese concentration camp survivors are buried. And it starts on April 8th with Yamato's ceremony and ends in Earth Day in Taos in the Kit Carson Park. It's then there's days on the way, plenty of time. So there's days on the way for gathering at the tribal lands and the sweat lodge and all that. But big finish. That's the plan before. But if he does that, we'll just join it up, ending the Taos. But I propose, haven't heard back from him and don't know what he thinks, but I propose a planning to walk the other way, like we planned 2 years ago, to walk from Taos to Santa Fe, April 8th, and Earth Day in Santa Fe, and continue on to the Santa Fe Indian School. The Santa Fe, by April 28th, which is the anniversary of the first time that Saint Nichiren put to voice this universal prayer mantra, is predicted to bring peace in our times by just people around the world putting it to voice. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Nichiren's first time putting to voice was April 28th. That's the same day I found out later that I got the revelation when I was beating the drum one day and put the voice La ilaha illallah, the Islamic prayer, with the same cadence and half beat as a Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I got the revelation of what I call the unity equation. the bottom line, the absolute identity function. And that was by coincidence that same day. So that's why I focus on April 28th for the Santa Fe Indian School. And the thing is, I'm in touch with somewhat with Chief Phil Lane in Canada, and he's following all the things in Canada going on with the Indian schools, where they're digging up so many bodies of children. I think thousands and thousands of dead bodies of children that have died, that they don't know if they've been mistreated, sexually abused, how they died, what just mess. And murdered and missing women and children, all a big issue in Canada. Not so much focus in the United States because I don't know why, but the deal is there's a woman named Deb Haviland. Can't pronounce her name, Deborah. She's from the Laguna Pueblo near Santa Fe, which is one of the eight pueblos that own the Santa Barbara Indian School. And she's the Secretary of the Interior under Joe Biden. And she's ordered a report. Last June, she ordered a report from all the Indian schools in the country to be delivered on April 1st about the status of things in the Indian schools in the United States. Well, what are they going to uncover? Will they find so many thousands and thousands of children's bodies buried under all the Indian schools, like the Catholic schools and all that kind of stuff that they did in Canada? Right now, it's a big unknown. It's gonna be covered up. Is it going to be a real investigation? What's going to happen? I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm going to fuss about it and see. But that's targeted to April 1st. Who knows? Maybe it'll be put off or extended or whatever. But I'm going to start following up and asking, what's the status on this report? Who's working on it? How much progress have they made in 6 months when it's due in another three, kind of thing, and make that a part of this campaign? Then after April 28th, my schedule is at the network in the New Mexico area, then to prepare to go to the Colorado for the 50th annual Rainbow Gathering to recruit people there and take a side trip to Crow Dog's Paradise, where I went with Yamato to the Sundance Ceremony one time, and Crow Dog saw the rainbow upraising sign on the bus and smiled and walked to this teepee, and a rainbow appeared around the top of the Sundance pole. And he's died, but he's a particular champion of Leonard Peltier. So I have on the schedule for those interested to go again to Crow Dog's Paradise with the prayer for Leonard. And then right quick, August 6th, Hiroshima Day will be one of the days of Sundance. It's the first week of August, sometime when the choke cherries are ripe. So the 6th of August will be one of the days in Rosebud to focus. Rosebud is the place they took the first handful of people from the Carlisle Indian School. The children were buried there, and they're reinterred ceremonially in Rosebud. So that has that focus of the Indian School children to link up to the New Mexico's, focus. And then right away to go to Oklahoma. And the big vision is to walk the Trail of Tears backwards from the end of the Trail of Tears to walk to the White House, but particularly to walk to the FBI office and take this guy by the throat and get his letter, to get Leonard out of jail. I want to grab the guy by the lapels and get that letter, to get Leonard out of jail. So figuratively, that's the goal, to go to the White House and the FBI, call the FBI on us bullshit. All these years, it's been fomenting problems. Most all the terrorist activity is somehow involved with FBI informants and bullshit. We gotta, kill the FBI, so to speak, to correct America, to correct the thinking, the Machiavellian thinking it's involved. So means Nagasaki Day, the 9th of August, to walk leave the Oklahoma. It's a Southeastern Oklahoma University. There's a monument there a woman in Santa Barbara has built, and she toured around the country and dedicated this monument. It's called A Monument to Forgiveness. And that's where to leave. It marks the end of the Trail of Tears. So walk back to Washington, D.C. Easy walk, average 13 miles a day, goes through one place, I think it's to Tennessee, is National Civil Rights Museum on the way. So that'll be my overture to help get Leonard out of jail, to get walk back the Trail of Tears from August 9th, November 8th, which is the election day. So it means August 9th means 3 weeks before the beginning of the AIM Grand Council's walk for Leonard Peltier, walk to justice. 3 weeks before that walk starts, we'll start to walk back from the Trail of Tears. So people can come and join the beginning of the walk back from the Trail of Tears. All of the people can come, and that'll help to promote the beginning of the walk from Minneapolis when people go back there. And then the walk back the Trail of Tears will end on Election Day, which is about a week or so before the aim walk arise and ends, meaning the all activity that comes from the Trail of Tears walk will still be in D.C. and able to rally a huge turnout for the 14th to get make sure Leonard is out of jail. I think he's going to be out a lot sooner if we can get the somebody to grab the guy with the by the lapels at the FBI. This thing that just came out, I just posted it today. Congressman Getz and Congresswoman Green, you have to watch this 37-minute press conference just posted today on the 8th of on the 8th of January on the American Peace Movement Facebook page. I'm sure it's out there, but Getz, G-A-T-Z-A-E-T-Z, some spelling like, and Congresswoman Green, get their press conference. My God, it talks about all the history of the skullduggery of the FBI. Doesn't take much to when you listen to what she's saying to put two and two together to figure out why we got Leonard still in jail for 40 some odd years. The last American Indian movement prisoner of war. My God. How can they do this? How can they keep him in jail for so long? Well, you know, blah, 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 blah. There's people, there's also people who criticize him. I heard his story, the letter did this and the letter did that and blah, blah, blah. But none of it's, whatever should keep somebody in jail when they government has already acknowledged they falsified the evidence on which he's convicted. Just the discovery of how much, how terrible the justice system. You talk about FBI and the Department of Justice. What kind of justice is the Department of Justice dealing out? My God. Okay, so that's the my vision of the Global Peace Walk as the engine for the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage to kick it off, whether make catches on it as a TV show or not. That's my vision, to bring attention to global peace now and the messages of peace that are going to influence people's minds and change people's thinking to bring peace. Now, that's my concern. Of course, you know, I'd like to see Leonard out of jail, but why? I'm not an Indian. I think he's a wonderful, at my impression from talking to him, he's a wonderful guy. He said, give his love to the people. I was taken with his sincerity. I believe him. He's worthy to get out of jail, but my main interest is him as a leader of the American peace movement, who, by getting him out of jail, will put him in the position to represent the American peace movement, to change America around the world from the kind of America that people complain about, like Brian Wilson in Nicaragua, who's a vet, Vietnam War veteran, and a lawyer who went to Vietnam and had to do all these reports on casualty damage and found out they were intentionally bombing civilian villages to get the body counts up, and that's what his experience was that blew his mind, and he came back and became a serious anti-war activist and sat down in the train tracks of the Concord Naval Weapons Lab, tried to block a train, sending munitions, and they speeded up and ran over him and nearly killed him and chopped off his legs. And so he's still active in the Veterans for Peace, the same people that his people, the Veterans for Peace, Duncan Murphy, and that did a bunch of fasting against the war in Washington, D.C. I saw him there one time, and I sat next to him in one meeting, a church meeting in Santa Barbara. Hell of a nice guy, but he's talked about bad-mouthing America. He's the exact opposite of Trump trying to be positive about America. He's the exact opposite in terms of realistic how bad American atrocities around the world. I'm trying to change it, make the change, a change in thinking that brings peace, just like the peacemaker went to visit the five warring tribes, and he went to the worst first, the Mohawks, which were cannibals, and they made him do a test, and they chopped out a tree over a big chasm, and he fell in superhuman somehow. He survived. When they found him the next day making breakfast, they listened to his message, and he gave them the message of peace, and he convinced them to go to the other four tribes, and they heard the message of peace, and they all gave up war just on the spot, because they heard the message of peace delivered in the right way, and about the great law of peace and the tree of peace. The same with King Ashoka. The Hopi Declaration of Peace. Peace is the foundation of the Hopi people. They never fought the United States. They never made war, but learn to live in peace by spiritual principles that we can learn from, and that's what I'm about. So, okay, I rattle on for another half hour. What am I going to try to cover next? Okay, so the AIM Walk to Justice, Leonard Peltier's Walk to Justice, that the American Indian Movement Grand Governing Council is organizing independently of any of things I've said, and that's going to be a successful event, I'm sure. And the only tie-in I can see, the big one, is whoever is inspired by the Lucidity Festival in Santa Barbara and networking between there now and then to go to Taos or to go to Minneapolis to join that walk or to go to the Crow Dogs, people who are equipped to do the sun dance or support there. The people who want to go to the Rainbow Gathering and learn something about right and wrong and just not a bunch of bullshit that everybody woo-woo, hippy-dippy, but people want to learn about right and wrong, that want to go to the Rainbow Gatherings and bring that energy to, great. That energy can go to Minneapolis and go to Oklahoma and wind up at the FBI office looking for that guy with the letter to grab him by the lapels. Okay. I've touched on things. I'm reaching for what's next. Again, I would urge you to look up the longest walk speech of Guruji Fuji Nichidatsu. You can find it. My website is convoluted in a mess, but you can find stuff on it if you know where to look. My website, you have to, it's hyphenated, so it's called Global Emergency Alert Response.net. That's my main website. I started in 1998, and I have to do each page. I need help, but it's not up to date, but I've got some good stuff on it. And then after that, there's a slash and an extension where I have different pages in. So the one I would suggest to go hyphenated Global Emergency Alert Response.net and slash, go to spell out small letters DREAM, DREAM, DREAM .html. That'll take you to the page about Guruji's dream for world peace. And in there will be the link to the longest walk speech and a bunch of other speeches and he gave that are really important in these times. But I'll tell you a little bit about the history of the Guruji's longest walk speech. We were camped at Greenbelt Park for a week. I went to the Rainbow Gathering to tell people about the longest walk. So I was delayed. I talked to people about the camp, around the campfire all week to recruit people to go and join in the longest walk. So I got 42 people and I think 8 cars and raised money, passed the hat, and gave everybody gas money to get there. And some people like Felipe Chavez went on their own. I met him later. But I wound up, after sending everybody off, I wound up with no money and no car to figure out what to do. So I hitchhiked out of the gathering. I went to hitchhike to San Francisco, and I talked to people on the way. And when I caught up with Yamato in San Francisco, I got is a couple of days before the walk's supposed to end. All of a sudden, two women showed up. They each wanted to take me and the longest walk, and each had a ticket. So the idea was they wanted me to pick one of them for a girlfriend, and the other one would give me the ticket, and I'd get on the plane to go the longest walk. Well, I already had a wife, a girlfriend, somebody I was devoted to, so that wasn't going to work. So we sat down and beat the drums in the airport until they decided to think about it. And one of the women gave me the ticket to get on the airplane, and both the women left, and I got on the airplane, the red-eye flight to Washington, D.C. at the last minute, and landed in the early morning hours in Washington, D.C., and went to the made my way to the Washington Monument, where the walk was going to end. And there I am beating the drum, waiting for the longest walk, and all these people still coming. They were separated by the Red Nation, the Yellow Nation, and the White Nation, the people grouped by races. And the thousands of people walked to the end of the walk area, and I witnessed it from the Washington Monument until I saw them coming, and then I rushed to join in with the Japanese monks in beating the drums. And the last 100 yards or so, I walked with them. Then eventually, right then, settled down, a circle, giant circle formed in the Washington Monument grounds, where they were going to pass the pipe and have a pipe ceremony where Guruji was the only non-Indian person invited to sit in the circle. The pipe, sacred pipe, had been loaded in San Francisco at Alcatraz and walked all the way across country. And at that time, they smoked the pipe and had the prayer ceremony. And then there's several days of events after that. Grandfather David Monange spoke with his first time I seen him was his hair down. He spoke at longest walk gathering in Lafayette Square across from my White House. Another time there's a stage set up. I went and beat the drum on the empty stage to center the prayer. I used to beat the drum loud because Guruji said so. But these days I don't so much because people get mad at me for beating the drum loud. But I was one day of that where all people gathered, nothing to do. I went up on the stage where the event was going to be the next day and started to carry on screaming and beating the drum really loud. And Junsan was the only way the nun who built the Peace Pagoda in Grafton, New York, she's the only one, the nun who had the balls to come and join me to beat the drum with me. And then we finished and it went on. But the day of the longest walk speech, Guruji, the last day in the steps of the Capitol, all the people, Deer and Bill Rapipa and all the bigwigs, Indians, guys gave speeches. And Guruji's speech had been given to us in English, printed out on the bus ride to the Capitol so we could read what he was going to say. But what I want to say is it was a cloudy day. And remember, this was the anniversary of the first atomic bombing, the 35th. Years after the first atomic bomb explosion, Guruji got up to talk in Japanese, and paragraph by paragraph it was translated into English. Well, it was a cloudy day, overcast day, and from the first words he spoke in Japanese, the thunder started. There's thunder rolling around these cities all the time he talked. This thunder, 360 light, people had him. And to know, to pay attention. But yeah, the thunder kept going until the last paragraph, the English translator finished speaking his speech, and then the thunder stopped. That's why I say you have to study this speech. And there, I don't want to say the punchline, but he went on to say the history of the walk and how the troubles he had and all this stuff, and then he gave his Buddhist message. But he said, Guruji, when he was in Japan, when monks first came, they didn't think any Indian people survived in the United States. They were all brainwashed by the Japanese media that all the Indians were dead. So he was this 90-some guy who's Mahatma Gandhi's guru, and he learned from his disciples that the Indian people survived. So Minamatsu, one of the monks I fasted with, wanted me to take him to the Hopi land. Instead, I took Dampashi to meet Thomas Banyaka, but Minamatsu went to north to meet Dennis Banks. And I think it was Lee Brightman's house where he came to meet, Minamatsu came to ask for Dennis. And Guruji had told him, you have to meet this guy, and if you if he, well, Dennis Banks refused to meet the guy. And Minnie Mezzo says, oh, okay, I have to sit here and beat the drum and fast until I die. Because Guruji told me, well, Dennis, and he met him and realized after finding out the story, he realized when he was in the Marine Corps, he had met Guruji when he was a guard at embassy and knew he was going to not shoot these demonstrators coming in mass or the monks leading. Dennis realized this. That was the guy who was Guruji, and that started off the relationship. And Dennis Banks many times went to Japan with Guruji's supporters and set up business deals and all that kind of stuff, and did a lot of activity for the American Indian movement. After he could leave California, because he couldn't leave for the long walk for survival or the longest walk because he was the governor of Brown's protection for extradition. But he did sacred runs, all kinds of stuff. Last I saw him was Taos when we visited him when the sacred run was coming through. And I helped him with a radio interview and put my arm around his neck and said, here, you're ready to go on the radio. But he passed away, and a lot of people are taking up the slack. But the Guruji's longest walk speech, one of the things that I remember, he said he had a line about correcting their trivial religious beliefs, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. In Buddhism, it's taught, you know, if you find out the truth, you change your beliefs and you go with the truth. No embarrassment, nothing to be ashamed of. But I think about that when I think about all the claims that people like President Trump have made, that there's a global cabal in power for centuries, and to satanic rituals and drinking blood and killing children for satanic ritual sacrifices. And these are the people that we're up against in power. They're permeating all the judges and the cops and the FBI and everything. The Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein, the tip of the iceberg, this kind of stuff. If it's real, and I've seen pictures more than enough to convince me it's real, going back to thousands of years, the worship of Baal and all kinds of stuff camouflaged the Catholic churches, the Roman Empire camouflaged as a religion, all kinds of weird stuff. This is secretly going on, secretly terrible stuff. If this is real, I keep coming back to the thing about Guruji saying you have to correct your trivial religious beliefs. Is that a trivial religious belief? Well, if you get rid of it, if you change your mind, it becomes trivial. So that's what the Monument to Forgiveness is about, the transformation forgiveness. The first version of this statue at the end of the Trail of Tears, it's a monument for forgiveness to forgiveness. Now in the bronze, and the guy, Indian guy with the eagle, looks like a Leonard Peltier symbol with the eagle on top of his head, standing on Turtle Island. Before she made, Frances Jensen made a marble statue called Transformation Through Forgiveness before she put this monument to forgiveness. And a mudslide in Santa Barbara, her beautiful statues washed away and crumbled up. And I've looked at the date when I saw the article a week or so ago, and the date that happened was the 33rd anniversary of the death of Guruji on January 9th, 2018. So January 9th is tomorrow. It's be the 37th anniversary of Guruji's demise. On his fifth anniversary, we had the week of events under the auspices of the Rainbow Uprising campaign, of a rainbow uprising of consciousness to a higher level, which you can see the solutions to the problems today. That's when Mohawk Chief Jake Swampy came and we did the ceremony at the Tree of Peace. So I have a minute or so left. I'm saying I want to tell people you can reach me at my phone number to promote a text or call, 805-403-1634. I am in Santa Barbara. So I'm going to say, Nam Mu Myo Ho Renge Kyo Le Ilahe Illallah Torakum, that means in Hebrew, the law stands up. Torak, that's the name of the cosmic life plan that I've been following. The sound of Torak since 1973. And I want to tell you, I love you all. I'm sorry my voice is terrible because I had something happen with the Mayan calendar exercise that made me speech impediment. The peacemaker had a speech impediment, and he employed Hiawatha to help him. So anyway, love you all. Have a good week. I'll be back next Saturday. I rambled on long enough. Namu myoho renge kyo. Torak, torako.